don't, I think you're going to refer to Pat, because you had started a lot of questions.
Sure. Can I call you?
Yeah.
Okay. I think where I ended was if you could walk the board through changes between the fifth page of applicant 21.
Correct.
And the 2019 approved master plan.
Sure. So, as we've been discussing tonight, it's Unit J and Unit K. There is a limit of amendment line on the plan. You'll see that line actually continues up and just hugs just south of N and L. It does that because this parking lot was slightly reconfigured as part of these units here, all within Lot J and Lot K. So I'm going to march left to right on the plan. This side, I believe it is block 4A, had townhomes and small walk-ups on it. It now has one four-door building and four small walk-ups and five townhome buildings. The parking, so I guess I could do, if I could do the parking as a whole, it's because the parking, again, this is a shared parking analysis, so the whole site takes into account the parking. For Lot J specifically, the approved plan had 582 spaces. This plan shows 602. Again, partly because of the demand for the number of units increasing in this in Lot J. You'll see that Lot K actually decreases the original, the approved master plan had 488 on Lot K, this section. The proposed plan has 456, if I can read my handwriting correctly. So slightly decreased, again, the reason for that is the number, or the units increased in Lot J, decreased in Lot K. But again, from a shared parking analysis, that all still meets the ordinance requirement. And again, doesn't include any on-street spaces. So for instance, you know, these on-street spaces here would clearly be incidental to those townhomes, but not included in the parking lot.
Can I ask a quick question, just for point of reference? Why aren't the on-street spaces counted?
It's a great question. It was a specific request at the beginning of the master plan.
Okay.
They are public streets, right? So these are streets for dedication. So they are public streets, not necessarily specific to a tenant or a resident. So anyone could technically park in the on-street spaces.
Am I reading the map correctly that all of the streets have on-street parking? Or is that just kind of...
So the one, I know the one that didn't was the one we were proposing for elimination. That one didn't, it was more of an alley. Yeah, you'll see, thank you, Chuck, there are alleys here that have garages off of them. Those don't necessarily have on-street spaces associated with them. But if I recall from the rest of the master plan, so there is Street D, the extension here does not propose on-street spaces. This was the continuation. It would have, the road that we're proposing to eliminate. This street does not have on-street spaces.
Does a loop road near 322 have on-street?
I think this road has on-street spaces. I think throughout all the residential has all on-street spaces.
Right here, there.
Including West End Avenue, which is like
yes.
The main corridor through the development that will hook it past. Or go past Bullfrog Valley and into Research Boulevard. Or that's Research Boulevard.
Yeah, Research Boulevard is going to be renamed West End.
West End. Yep. And so they'll be parking on either side of the street the whole way through.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let me think for one second. So as I guess from if I could just do Lot J, Lot K, and then if you have specific questions, I'll absolutely dive into the details. So we're talking about corridor buildings, small walk-ups, large walk-ups. The previous plan, I believe, had seven corridor buildings located in these two blocks here on Lot K.
And just, I don't know if it's possible, but I'm looking at sheet 11, the 47 of the original. I'm trying to think if there's a way for you to go back and forth
sure.
when you're talking about the differences, so the board has a good understanding rather than just the narrative. And there might be a better sheet, Chuck, than 11, but that's the one I'm kind of looking at.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the latest exhibit, but I did have the old plan loaded. So that's what.
So if you could, when you go through the changes and the differences between page 5 of applicant 21 and the original 2019 approved master plan, maybe for the board's convenience to go back and forth between that sheet 11 of the original the approved master plan and page 5 of that.
Sure. So let's start with this plan, the revised master plan as presented. And we'll start in Lot J, just because we've been talking about Lot J and Lot K. There are 5 corridor buildings within Lot J. And previously there were no corridor buildings. This is a large walk-up unit. The corridor buildings were associated with Lot K a little further south on the plan. That's the agenda. Yes, the... Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks.
If I complicate it, then don't worry about it.
No, we're good. I just need to know which buttons to...
So there are, on Lot J, there are small walk-ups and there are large walk-ups. As Sunil mentioned in his testimony, the large walk-ups are approximately 10 units, and there will be a single building. A large walk-up is a double building connected between the two. So on Lot J, there's 1, 2, 3 large walk-ups and 7 small walk-ups. Previously on Lot J, it was 14 small walk-ups and 1 large walk-up. And then the number of towns that we actually have written down on another sheet. On Lot J, the number of towns decreased by 62. So vice versa, on Lot K, the number of towns increased by 62. Sorry, I know I jumped around there. So overall, I think we have less corridor apartment buildings. We have slightly more smaller walk-up, large walk-up apartment style units, and the number of towns stays the same. Slightly more towns on Lot K, or excuse me, Unit K, than Unit J. Some other changes to the plan, as we talked about, Street D, the elimination there. I will say there's been some green spaces added that weren't necessarily shown or accommodated for on the previous master plan. So there's a green space over here, some green space here. There's actually a small green space there. And then again, common green space between each of the units. As you can see on this one, there was no accounting for those green spaces within the original master plan, within Lot J. Lot K, again, 62 increase in townhomes. Again, as we walk further south towards Wood Road. Lot K's major modifications are the corridor buildings kind of made a U-shape along these lots here. The corridor buildings correlate to the apartment units across the street with your towns more southerly located. I guess the other change from the master plan, while we're there for a second, Chuck, the clubhouse was located within Lot K, has been moved to this corner in Unit J. So those were probably the main changes, right? Just marching through with a 10,000 foot view. If you have any specific questions, I absolutely have no problem diving into those.
the structure that is along Street C that has the X through it?
It's a neat walking path at the moment. To be defined, but it's showed a sidewalk. It's not an actual roof structure.
Okay.
That is an open space to be refined in the land development plan. It's an open space for residents.
Okay, so what's currently up there is what's proposed in applicant 21, right?
Correct.
So if we look at that, I see 4A. I think that's top left. You see that? So what's being proposed now is corridor apartments are along the left corner, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 small walk-up units, right?
Correct.
And then still some townhomes along Street F, it looks like.
Yep, five townhomes along.
As opposed to the prior plan, the 2019 plan, it was all townhomes with the exception of two small walk-ups.
Correct.
The parking, I know you gave us the, my understanding is the parking overall between the two, the 2019 plan and the proposed amendment plan, 582 spaces in the original?
Correct.
Was that for both J and J?
No, that was just lot J.
Just J. And then now proposed for unit J, right?
Unit J. Unit is a condo unit.
And they've been trying to train us for years now.
And now proposed the 602 spaces for unit J.
Correct.
Did you tell us that the difference in unit K of parking spaces?
Yes. So the approved master plan had 488. The proposed 456.
And the clubhouse you said moved from, looks like what's on the original plan from that section 3B. I may have missed where it's being moved to with the new, in the new plan on applicant 21.
You're correct, it was in 3B. Is going to lot J. I guess that's block 2E on the corner.
And you're pointing to where the new plan depicts it as proposed pool?
Correct.
So that's the clubhouse.
So I've, and Neil?
Pools are the clubhouses in the building.
In the building.
Okay. Okay. Did you do a breakdown of the parking in each of the lots, by chance, between the old plan and the new plan?
I believe I can give that to you if you would like.
Pat, it's on the plan. Like the numbers are actually on the plan.
I understand. I did it previously with the plan that was previously presented.
Okay,
I just haven't done it with this.
Yeah, but the numbers are on the plan. I don't think you need Bill to read them to you.
Well, the numbers of the proposed plan are on this plan. But the prior number of spaces in those parking lots are not on this plan, right? There's no comparison.
They're on the
old plan.
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, why don't you just take us through, and again briefly to the extent you can, the changes between the 2019 master plan that was approved and this new plan depicted on applicant 21, specific to the parking lots and the accesses to those parking lots. Because if I understood correctly, some of those have changed.
They have changed slightly, but still fairly close to what they were previously. But I think the major change, if we go to unit 2H, you can stay on this one, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
So this access to Street E is new. Street D, again, is being proposed to be eliminated. There's two access points on Street D. That's now proposed on Street E and Street C. the access onto West End with Street D is proposed to be eliminated. And just to clarify, I believe the connection from 2H was just shifted south on Street E from approximately this location to this location to align with block 2E. So 2E's connections were through Street D, they're now proposed on Street C and Street E. Unit 4D, this connection shifted slightly north to align with alley D. That would be block 4D. And then the connections on 3A were shifted north to align with the connections on the adjacent block. So 3A was shifted, I think that is Street I, was shifted north to align with the entrance on 3B. And then there was an access on the southern portion of 3A, which has been shifted to, again, align with the access points along 3A and connecting through 3B.
I guess the one thing I noticed is the entrance to the parking lots from 4D, 3B, and 3A all seem to now be aligned, right? That they weren't previously?
That's correct. I will say on Street I, there was actually a connection. This Street I had a connection here that connected straight through. So that really that connection shifted north on between 3A and 3B. That connection shifted north.
Any other changes between the access points to the parking lots?
Not that I believe. I can cover.
The townhomes and what's the area immediately surrounding the townhomes? Is it paved? Is it grass? I mean, what's the intent?
You mean like if you walk out the door of the townhome?
Yes.
So it's grass with the sidewalk connections to the other sidewalk connections. It would be a stoop, a porch, and then a connection to the sidewalks.
Okay. So when we're looking on applicant 21, on top of the townhomes, anything outside of what's depicted as the building footprint will be grass or a sidewalk, right? Or is that the intent?
That's the intent.
Okay. And then I guess page 6 of applicant 21, well actually straight. Are there any other significant differences between page 5 of Applicant 21 and the originally approved 2019 master plan, other than what we've already testified to?
I don't believe so.
Other than, I guess, there was testimony about some open space off to the left. Is that
so? That's consistent with the original master plan. The update was that it would be within the Lot J phase. It will be going in with the Lot J phase.
And then page 6 of applicant 21, it looks like the landscape plan.
Doug, if I could just before you go there, I think there's testimony there's grass all around the townhouses. I believe these townhomes down in 3A may actually have parking spaces adjacent to them and driveways into them?
Correct, sorry. So this is where Neil was talking about the mews down the middle. The parking access would be essentially behind it if you front on the mews area. So there, to clarify, there would be pavement up to the building that would have a garage. It was called tucked under in the original master plan. That is the intent of those townhomes there.
And that's specific to townhomes in... I guess 3A?
Correct. It is, those townhomes are proposed in 3A. And those were, if we flip back to the original master plan, those were proposed in lot 2B here. It is a similar style of what was intended here. And that is unit, or excuse me, block. Yeah, block 2B.
Okay. In the mews, that's a grass area?
It's grass with walkway. Landscaping, trees.
Chuck, anything else?
No, but thank you. I just wanted to be clear on that.
And then page 6. Can you just take us through whatever changes between this page 6 of Chapter 21 and the 2019 approved master plan?
Sure. This was a plan provided in the master plan to show that we will attempt to meet the street tree ordinance requirement. Really, the update is for the revisions to the street. Access openings to make sure trees were shifted, clear sight triangles, safe sight stopping distances, make sure there's access for drivers without those entrance points. Again, with each land development phase, the street tree plans will be provided showing the plans. So really this is just an update for the revised layout. There's no street tree counts or anything at this point associated with the master plan. It was a list of intended street trees and then approximate locations based on the street network and our intent in the parking lot areas. As you know, the ordinance has detailed calculations for green area within parking lots. We would need to be in conformance with all those requirements as well.
Okay. If you can go back to page 5. We've been saying in section 3A, what is that? I just thought, I'm not even sure if I know why they're called 3A and 3B.
Why there's block letters and numbers?
It's not a phase, it's not a unit.
I think it was just to help summarize as each section went on in the master plan to help identify if we're talking about, if we, it's quick to identify block 3A, so that.
And each of them is significant, it's there's not two 4Ds, right?
Correct.
So, really, the changes on the exhibit, the changes being proposed as part of this application are specific to J, units J and unit K, but also specifically 4A, 2H, 2E, 2C, 3A, 3B, and 4D.
2B. I guess 2C with the parking lot. So 2B and 2C.
Oh, 2B and 2C.
So, but you are correct, yes.
But other than that, none of the other, what are you calling these sections? None of the other sections?
I think we're calling them blocks.
Blocks?
Blocks.
These are blocks.
These are blocks.
Blocks. Blocks. We got blocks, we got units, we got... Okay. Anything else that you can think of that's different between Applicant 21 and the 2019 master plan?
No, I can't.
Okay. And then just briefly, were you involved in the preparation of Applicant 22, which is the shared parking analysis?
Yes.
The total number of parking spaces did change. We talked about that, correct?
Yes.
But they only changed with respect to J and K, units J and K.
Correct.
None of the other parking in the shared parking analysis has changed other than J and K?
That is correct.
I have a question. Weston Avenue. So in our discussions about the master plan and about this project, I've heard a lot about Weston Avenue being one of its benefits is to alleviate some of the traffic. Wood Road, Middletown Road. And so in the original master plan, it had, it looks like a decent amount of kind of green space along West End Avenue. So in the new plan that's being proposed, there's a number of four-door apartments. So just for point of reference, we get a lot of residents that come to us that have concerns about folks that are in the more built-up areas throughout the township that are kind of cutting across mid-block, walking across mid-block. So my question is, when those buildings are built, where are the entrances for residents to get into those buildings? And what will the sidewalk or the road look like to keep people who are walking in that area safe and encourage them to not cross mid-block, because there will be on-street parking the whole way through West End Avenue?
Sure. So from a pedestrian standpoint, I'll tee up Neil to talk about the entrances to the units.
Okay.
But from a pedestrian standpoint, there is a grass strip between the curb and the sidewalk. So pedestrians walking, they're not up against the curb, they're not up against the parking. There are intended crosswalks that you can kind of, as you can see through the site, to take people across. And I think it's really a destination study, right? Most of, if you're from an apartment, you're going to be parking in the parking, essentially behind, I'll say behind the building, but within the block itself. And I'll let Neil testify to the access, but that's where they would be parking. And then really, if you're walking through the pedestrian corridor, it's really a destination of where you're going. My feel is you're going to this the central core where we talked about with buildings D, C, B, Q, P, and N. That's probably your main residential corridor with your, you know, commercial restaurant type of uses.
So when the folks are, you know, when the corridor apartments are built out and there's folks living in them, there will not be out access, like there will be doors going out onto like the sidewalk and the back door. They'll all come out the front door and then they'll have to kind of go through an alleyway or something else to get to the back sidewalk, which will line West End Avenue. And then between the sidewalk and the road, there'll be kind of a grassy strip protecting pedestrians.
I mean, I would say there will be connections between the buildings and the sidewalk within West End. I would certainly envision that.
Residents would come out the front of the building. They wouldn't be coming out the back of the building.
There'll be access both front and rear.
Okay.
And typically the doors are located in, they're approximately the center of the building. Short corridor lengths either side. The building that's located near the pool that has the clubhouse will also have access to the clubhouse. So it'll have a secondary entrance as well.
But the residents that are walking along West End Avenue, they'll be well off the road, assuming, from at least from the discussions I've heard, West End Avenue is supposed to be used for folks that are trying to get from the West End over to the Medical Center.
I'm not sure what you mean by well off the road.
So there is a grass shoulder between the curb and the sidewalk in conformance with.
So it's not just the curb and then people parking and then the road.
So for the on-street parking? Or I'm sorry.
So it would be the curb and then it would be a grassy area and then there would be on-street parking and then the road.
No. So West End, there's two 12-foot travel lanes. I think those are 8-foot parking lanes, and then you have a grass strip, and then you have the pedestrian sidewalk. It's a 6.
So you have the sidewalk, grass, car parking.
Yeah. The on-street parking will park off the off of West End.
Grass protector in between where the sidewalks and where the sidewalk. Okay.
And again, the I think that's the 6-foot pedestrian or the 6-foot grass area. Well, that's the village center. That's what checks on the village center detail. That's where we can't put the trees. But for the rest, that is just in the center core area. For the rest of the way, that 6-foot is a grass with the street tree requirement planted.
So I just want to emphasize that I think that your point that I thought one of the points Natalie was making was people are going to park on West End Avenue. What we don't want to have happen is what happens currently on Chocolate Avenue, where people are parking on Chocolate Avenue, they're getting out of their vehicles on one side of the street, and oftentimes just literally crossing the Chocolate Avenue to get into one of the restaurants or one of the businesses on the opposite side of the street. And I, you know, in some instances you can put the bollards down the middle of the road that kind of prevent people from doing that and force them to the crosswalks. What we just want to avoid is the temptation that folks park on the street would have to just sort of jump out of the car and cross, because you are talking West End is going to be a fairly well-traveled road, which increases the opportunity for pedestrian accident if attention, right? So I think that was one of the points. Yep. One of the things we're all kind of concerned about is making sure it's pedestrian. It's safe for pedestrians in the area, recognizing what's going to be on the West End now.
So I would say I think the difference between, say, Chocolate Ave or another one is where the pedestrians are going. So, you know, J and K are a retirement, the intended senior living. I think ENF is a grocer. So really, to your point about they want to jump and go to restaurants, they're all going to want to go to DN, QP, CD. So you're not going to jump across, you're not going to park on this side and jump across the street to go to G&H. The pedestrian corridor is going to want to go to the destination of MQ.
So at least there's an incentive to go to an intersection across there as opposed to.
Correct. And we are, you know, we're providing crosswalks as required and per Penn House standards and all that stuff.
The area where you mentioned that there isn't room for the grassy area or the crosswalks is down by the place where the destination.
That's just the area that the street trees can't go.
But there's still a barrier.
There would still be a barrier of grass, yes.
Okay.
Association with this new applicant 21 as opposed to the 2019 master plan approval?
Yes, I do.
And did you do any of the? Are you did you don't did you you went to traffic engineering? Were you?
I'm not a traffic engineer.
Okay. So you didn't take any look at any of the changes within the internal layout of the site in applicant 21 as to whether or not that impacted the flow or any of that.
I mean, we do that from a land development perspective.
But not as part of this.
Correct.
Okay. Any last questions for Bill Burgers? Mr. Mandeville.
Thank you.
Your lady seat. You guys, I don't know if it's a fix there, because sometimes it is hard to for us.
I'll get taller.
What's that?
If I get taller, then
on, right? Is that thing on?
Is it? Yeah. It's on.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure everybody can hear, because I know that we're all kind of going in and out a little bit.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Mr. Malott, did you introduce yourself to the board?
Yes, Craig Malott. I work with Traffic Planning and Design, a transportation engineering consulting firm.
And what's your position with Traffic Engineering and Design?
Vice President and oversee our Harrisburg office.
And what's your educational background?
I have a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering, professional engineer registered in the state of PA, also a professional traffic operations engineer, which is a national certification.
And to retain those certifications, do you take continuing education classes?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and are you up to date with continuing education classes?
Yes, I am.
And are you licensed in Pennsylvania as a professional engineer?
I am.
Okay, and are you licensed in other states?
I am, yes. Virginia and Maryland.
And as a professional traffic engineer, do you prepare traffic impact studies?
I do. I do oversee them.
You also review land development plans for the purpose of circulation within developments?
Yes.
And have you testified as an expert before a zoning hearing board or board of supervisors report recently?
Yes, I have. Over the course of 20 years, I estimate it's been over 200 times I've been considered an expert witness.
And are you familiar with Applicants Exhibit 16, which is a curriculum vitae?
I am, yes.
Okay. And is the information in Applicants Exhibit 16 true and correct?
It is, yes.
Okay. At this time, I request the board to accept Mr. Malott's testimony as an expert in traffic engineering. Craig, do you prepare an update to your traffic impact study based upon the original application that was submitted in this matter?
That's correct.
Okay. And when I mean original, I mean the original application for the amendment to the conditional use.
That's correct.
Okay, and what did you take into account in that analysis?
So that evaluated the mixture in units that were originally proposed, that are no longer proposed, and how that related to the original transportation impact study that was done with the original master plan of 2019.
And did it have an effect?
It did not, no.
Okay. And now that there's not going to be a change in the mix of unit types, would you say that there's no real that the overall, without getting into the specifics of the circulation within the development, that the overall traffic counts and the traffic impact study that was prepared for the 2019 approval remains true and correct with this change in design, so to speak?
Yes, that is correct.
And I guess I'm going to move then quickly to the traffic flow within the development. Do you see any issues created by the traffic flow within the development as proposed this evening?
No, I do not. As was testified earlier by Neil, the removal of Street D is consistent with access management principles. It takes an access intersection away from West End Avenue, which we believe to be favorable. And which your engineer HRG reviewed, and we understand also was beneficial.
Okay, and in addition, we heard Mr. Fredericks testify a number of times on how the reconfiguration of lots J and K have new access points into the different blocks, and more often than not, those access points now align with an access point of an adjacent block. Can you explain why that would be important?
Yeah, oftentimes when you have parking lots and access connections that are offset, you may have motorists approaching from either end, not realizing there's someone who's offset, and can lead to crashes or just near misses. So the design standard, where feasible with new development, is to align such access driveways where you can.
And I guess, and then finally, with respect to West End Avenue itself, there are some questions presented as to the pedestrian safety and circulation on West End Avenue with the elimination of
Street D. Can you discuss your opinion on that as well?
Yeah, I think Bill did a good job capturing what the intent is. The only thing that I would add is that there is on-street parking, and there was significant focus in the original master plan to design it in a way to discourage higher speeds. Some of the references that you had made earlier to Chocolate Avenue, higher speed road, much higher volume. This will have volume on it for sure, but much higher. So the on-street parking, the way that it was laid out, the intent is for it to have an operating and a posted speed around 25 miles per hour.
So in sum, as to the overall traffic volume created by the development in as a whole, there's no change in your analysis from 2019 based upon this change in configuration of units, J units.
That's correct.
And as to the internal circulation, the changes that are made are, in your opinion, beneficial to the circulation.
Yes.
And in your professional opinion, that the pedestrian safety along West End Avenue is still protected with the removal of Street D.
Yes.
I have no further questions, Mr. Golan.
Kirk, can I just ask a couple questions? So,
sure.
Looking at West End Avenue, just where do you envision it? At the intersections, do you envision traffic lights at any of those intersections?
None, and this was actually a significant discussion point during the original master plan, trying to balance safety pedestrians while still accommodating what is on the township's official map, which is a connector road. So the intent of West End Avenue is that it'll be free flow. There won't be any stop signs on West End Avenue itself. So if you're headed west to east or east to west, you won't have to stop unless you're turning left and yield. And then there will be stop signs on the side street approaches to West End Avenue. No signals, even though West End Avenue ultimately will be owned by the township. PennDOT drives installation of signals even on township roads. We don't think any of those intersections would rise to the minimum requirement to install at those locations.
Am I correct? Maybe I want to make sure I remember this correctly from the past. So correct me if I'm wrong. Is the existence of on-street parking one of the ways to slow traffic down on a road? Is that
it is.
Traffic or
traffic
speeding mitigating traffic calm?
Yes. Okay. So it serves a function, but it's also a design intent to try and make motorists feel uncomfortable, which leads hopefully to slower speeds.
Okay, and at the crosswalks, so there won't be stop signs or lights where there's crosswalks. Is it advisable for us to be placing, in some areas of the township, we're not putting flashing lights at crosswalks? Is that advisable? I'm a little concerned that there's going to be a lot of traffic there and people at crosswalks. I'm just concerned that people don't, both drivers and citizens don't always obey the rules of crosswalks. So sometimes there's confusion. In an attempt to eliminate some of that confusion, we've, in certain areas of the township, we're going to put flashing lights. And I'm wondering if those might be crosswalks that would warrant that kind of attention.
Possibly in the future. I think when we did this with new design, the intent was to try and set up with site distances and with design treatments where you wouldn't need that. Those types of things, if there is an issue that's created, are things that you can do after the fact to kind of address. So we're not anticipating that being needed, but it's a measure that can be done later if it's found to be necessary. The PA state law, too, with the way we have it set up, I realize compliance is different than what the law is, but something that comes up on each side street where there's not a signal, but pedestrian crossing has the right of way, so vehicles are supposed to stop. I realize that doesn't happen often, but that's the way the law is established.
Otherwise, it doesn't happen often. On both sides, right? I mean, it's supposed to be the citizen supposed to step into the crosswalk, and that's the signal. And oftentimes, folks don't. And so then the cars are actually doing the right thing, that they're not stopping. I don't want to get into all of it, but you understand what that's why there's this confusion. But who else? Questions?
Greg, what's the posted speed limit going to be down West End?
The intent is 25.
10 to 25?
25.
25.
any consideration of putting speed humps in there?
We did, and we thought there was some discussion, and again, that is something else that potentially could find in speeding issues. That's something that can be added in. We thought the way it was aligned with curvature was parking, and then the travel lane made it narrow enough where it would hopefully lead to reduced speed.
Those are actual physical bump outs, right?
Yes, those are also. That's part of the constraint trying
right.
to drive.
I'm trying to get those in the township on Chocolate.
Right, yep.
Actually, we had those on our streetscape at one time, but I think at the time they were deemed to be too expensive, so we cut them out of the plan, but I think we're looking at them again.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you could walk me through how a pedestrian would pick up the trail through the circle, or through the traffic circle. So if there's a pedestrian that's walking down West End Avenue, how will they navigate their way on foot or running through the trail to hook up either north and south or to pick up on the other side of Waltonville Road?
So there are bike accommodations and sidewalk accommodations on all four approaches along with crossing. So, you have to bear with me because our plan's a little bit different than this. This is a sidewalk that comes up here and leads to a crossing here, to a sidewalk, to a crossing here that leads over to the existing trail. That sort of thing happens on all four approaches. So you have a crossing here, the sidewalk connection, crossing here, and then with a sidewalk connection as well. There are also, this is a PennDOT requirement, bicyclists are allowed to circumnavigate the roundabout as if they are a vehicle. Most experienced bicyclists do that. But PennDOT's requirements for those that may have kids or for whatever reason, if they're not comfortable there, and I can't tell where it's at here, there are bike cutouts. I believe it's right here and then right here, and then all the approaches where bicyclists can get off before they get into the roundabout, walk the sidewalk, cross, and then continue on their way.
Now, signage for pedestrians that will be crossing along Walden Hill Road, is that something that during construction that you look to have established so it's there once everything is opened back up again, or is that something that comes to us at the township once the road is free-flowing again?
So the final roundabout plan has signing that identifies pedestrian crossings, directions, those sorts of things. So that is placed on the final plan and reviewed by PennDOT and by the township. I don't have a copy of that detailed plan with me, and we can certainly get it.
But it's part of it. It's already in there.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. So the correspondence dated December 27, 2021 from TPD, that's from your office?
December
27th. I believe it's in
the application. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe it's part of the applicant's exhibit.
Part of that.
So there's a correspondence from you since the December 27th, 2021.
Yep. Yep, and that's the applicant's exhibit 10, and that's what I was referring to as the analysis based upon the application in which the unit mix changed.
And so you're referring to the February 7th, 2022 correspondence from your office?
Correct.
Okay. And is it... Can you take me through, it looks like there's two main points, or two main topics.
one being trip generation comparison between the proposed plan before this board, and the other comparing the traffic phasing associated with the revised plan.
Sure.
Are those the two main topics in that letter?
They are, yes.
Meaning, and I believe, I mean, I don't want to testify for you, but is it fair to say that this letter indicates that your finding or your determination was there was no significant change in the trip generation associated with the proposed changes?
That's correct, yes.
And why don't you explain, is there anything else with respect to the trip generation topic that you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, and then the other item is the traffic phasing revised the master plan. Is it fair to say that's indicating that you don't see any issue with the way the revised phasing will impact the traffic at the site?
That's correct.
Is there anything else that this letter talks about, or if you want to get a little bit more specific about that, you can?
The only other issue I would touch on, when we had originally done the traffic study, and Chuck had mentioned there's a traffic phase one and a traffic phase two. We had referenced it to the phasing nomenclature originally, phase one, phase two, phase three. What Chuck had suggested, your engineer suggested, that rather than have a threshold type of phase that doesn't exist, that we take trip numbers specifically in the report and kind of assess against those. So what we do in here is, in essence, say with the new phasing, this is how the metric matches up. It will be checked during each plan development phase, and here's what those specific numbers are. And then HRG reviewed that, concurred, and then listed in their letter that they agree that those unique numbers should be the basis against which we compare.
Okay. I just want to make sure I misunderstand that. You're not saying because there was a provision, a condition in the 2019 master plan approval that talks about a future traffic impact study at a phase two. Is that what you were just, that's
yeah.
not even what you were referring
right.
to, right?
Yeah, this
we're
is.
Not, we're not changing the sequencing of that potential traffic impact
right.
study, are we?
No, we're not, that's correct. It in essence was a way in which as each land development phase comes in, we have to make sure that what is proposed matches up with our study. This allows that monitoring to be done more easily by setting up the way we did here.
And it's your understanding that at some point in time, apparently phase two, I'm not exactly sure when that is, but there will be anticipated another traffic impact study associated with this master plan.
Correct.
Okay. And that hasn't been done yet.
That's correct.
Aside from those two topics in your February 7, 2022 letter regarding trip generation and traffic phasing for the revised master plan, did you look at anything else with respect to the proposed revisions to the plan?
We did not, no.
You didn't look at the internal traffic layout or whether or not it makes sense or is safe?
Not in this. We didn't address it in a letter as part of reviewing the revised master plan. I did take a look at it.
So you reviewed the April 1st, 2022 proposed revised plan for purposes of safety and internal traffic flow?
I did, yes.
And you don't have any issues with respect to that?
I do not.
Okay. I believe it was testified. There are certain things as traffic calming, right? And I think we talked about
right.
bump outs. Are street trees also part of traffic calming?
It depends. I think theoretically it adds to some constraint as we're trying to do with traffic calming. Trees in and of themselves without other measures like parking, I think, are ineffective.
Any other types of traffic calming?
They've been mentioned there's a whole host depending on situation. There's speed humps that can be done. There's chicanes that actually really funnel you into a narrow situation. Roundabouts themselves are considered traffic calming techniques because they reduce speed.
What about the layout of the road? The curve?
Yes.
Including curves or?
Curves.
Making sure that it's not a straight.
Right. Whether you provide shoulders, there's a whole set of options that you can consider. They're all kind of site-specific. It's like a toolbox of treatments you can consider, and you have to make sure that they make sense given the context.
Do you have any concerns with respect to West End not having a stop sign or a traffic signal in what appears to be somewhat of a straight fashion?
I do not. There is some curvature in there, but no, that was thoroughly examined in the original master plan phase. That very topic was discussed.
What about the access points? If you go down to Unit K, the access points to the parking lot, that appears to be a straight, almost like a straight connector between parking lots. Do you have a concern with respect to the way that's laid out?
I do not, and I feel like I'm taking an eye test here, but I'm having a hard time seeing it.
right? You see how the on the sheet of, I believe it's probably page 5 on the applicant's main one, how the accesses to the parking lots in Unit K line up almost directly and create a straight. There's no concern with respect to that?
No, it's fairly conventional.
Are you familiar with the original 2019 approval decision?
I am, yes.
There's a reference in that decision regarding a traffic... You have it in front of you? Are you familiar with a traffic signal associated with the original master plan that may be, my understanding is it may not be needed if there were a, I'm not going to say bypass, but a connector that's shown on the township's official map? Are you familiar with that condition?
Yes, I believe you're referring to the township's ultimate vision on the official map to run a connector road from Middletown Road to Walton Hill Road, ultimately from Bullfrog Valley. That's what you're referencing. And I think the intersection you're talking about specifically is Wood Road and Middletown Road under its existing configuration.
Okay. And that traffic signal is still not proposed, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And do you know what the status of either the traffic signal and or that bypass that's referenced in the original 2019 conditional use decision?
The bypass that's referenced runs outside of the Hershey Trust property. So there were some sketches that were done as part of that condition to show a potential layout, but it goes over land that Hershey Trust did not control.
Understood. But a portion of it is on this property?
A portion of it is on the property to the west of Walton Hill Road.
Okay. It doesn't cut through the proposed development, does it?
The connector between Waltonville and Middletown Town. The connector between Waltonville and Bullfrog Valley is West Bend Avenue. Okay.
Is the if there were no bypass road to go in, would that traffic signal be a necessary improvement associated with the plan?
No, I don't believe so. And that's a complicated question because of some of what exists at Wood Road and Middletown Road, some of the development that's occurred that gives you access to other signals. What you're referencing ultimately during the process we went through with PennDOT, we went through with the township, was there's an existing intersection that only has one side approaching Middletown Road, where if you were to install a signal, there would be no benefit to any of the residents or motorists on the west side. So the township's official map suggested there could be a signal, but they suggested if it's ever done, that it be done further to the north so that the western side of Middletown Road can benefit from that signal.
So, see, I don't know if you have the point, but where is this potential bypass that's on the Hershey Trust property?
Okay, so the part that Chuck's showing there is not the trust property. I don't know. The intent was for, and there's still a lot of details that have to be worked out, the intent, I think, was for the leg between Waltonville Road and Middletown Road to cut through the trust tract and intersect at the southern driveway location to Waltonville Road, which is not built or designed yet. So, Chuck, I'm not sure if you can help me on that map. And Ken might be able to kind of give an indication of the property line. Actually,
That's our pedestrian crossing location.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's the pedestrian crossing location through King's property.
Okay.
And I forgot I have a... I can just point it, but... If you want to zoom out, I can... The intent was it would cut through, and Ken, you can help me if I'm wrong. I think the trust property ends somewhere. This is Waltonville.
You're pretty close.
And so the connector between Middletown and Waltonville would intersect conceptually somewhere in here at the southern entrance that has yet to be built or constructed.
And Pat, if I recall that condition, it was to explore opportunities or options to show that for the township as development plans or other things come in the future?
Yeah, and I was just asking what the status of, because yeah, I believe the idea was not to put in the traffic signal. The way I read it is the traffic signal wasn't going to go in because of this potential bypass to address the traffic issues that that traffic signal would have been intended.
I think there was a recognition that it was almost impossible to put a signal at that location at the time, but that's, you know, about a few years. But the idea was to show a future opportunity, you know, through your transportation plan, how would it potentially connect to this project, you know, at some point in the future. If in the event the township was able to figure out how to get that bypass, and I don't want to call it bypass.
Would the Hershey Trust be agreeable to granting an access to the extent that it's on your property?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that was part of it.
That's part of the condition.
That's part of the condition, yeah, absolutely. We didn't, I think, Pat, we didn't put a specific easement in place because of
the Hershey Trust would be agreeable. Absolutely. So long as it's on their property.
I think it's in the... I think that's part of the original master plan approval that we got.
Just a couple more questions for him. Also in the original master plan approval, it talks about HTC agreeing to consider future traffic calming measures on Wood Road if a problem is perceived by the township within 2 years of connection of West End. What would those traffic calming... And we looked at that as to what the... with the understanding that West End isn't connected yet, what would the potential traffic calming be along Wood Road that you would consider?
It would have to be further evaluated once the connection happens to see what types of cut-through issues or speeding issues may occur. I think in our report we noted speed humps, reduction of lane widths, those sorts of things would have to be evaluated. We didn't land on a specific type of treatment, just said that it would have to be evaluated once we see the volumes and speeds on the road after.
Okay. And just one other question. So your February 7th, 2022 letter talks about the trip generation and traffic phasing. Is there a reason it didn't talk about whether or not traffic flow, internal flow, was a good idea under the April 1, 2022 revised plan?
Because it addresses just the transportation impact study, which David referenced, that's the macro reports that looked at predominantly West End Avenue and then impacts to external intersections. The evaluation of the internal circulation was done, or the intent was that it would be done as part of the land development phases that they come in.
Okay, so you didn't necessarily do that yet?
Correct.
Under the revised applicant 21, you haven't really done that.
We reviewed the revised master plan that's before you and gave some basic feedback. As the land development plans come in, we would do a formal letter like we did and addresses that and then how that particular phase matches up with the transportation impact study.
Okay.
All right.
And it's fair to say that you weren't, at least at this point in the stage, you weren't engaged to analyze that.
Not formally. We gave it formal feedback.
I think that's all I have for him. I do have one or two more for you, unless the board has other questions.
I just wanted to make a note of that access road. I know that we've discussed that at length in our transportation committee meetings, and that was part of the Greater Hershey Area Transportation Study. And I know that in our conversations, we've looked at some alternatives instead of putting that road through there, and one of those alternatives is putting a light at Wood Road, maybe not exactly where Wood Road currently intersects with Middletown Road, but at a distance closer to Gramercy, but not necessarily that access road. So I know that in this proposal, it said that the township was not exactly looking at putting a light at Middletown and Wood, but I think that was prior board, so I just want to put that on.
Okay, yeah. We based it on the official map, the guiding document of transportation improvement that was in place when we had done our report.
It's my understanding that there are warrants to meet. Or warrants have been met for that potential traffic signal, right? It was just the understanding that if there was a way to go bypass, it potentially would not be necessary.
Well, it's there was no formal evaluation of it by PennDOT. We looked at it in a planning study, had shown some of the delay results that were there, where the next trigger would be evaluate more deeply and go closely whether a signal is warranted, but knowing, as I mentioned, what the official map had said, we didn't do that. We looked at other alternatives, other ways that the developer could contribute to advancing a plan that the township.
So you haven't looked recently as to whether or not the warrants are met or that traffic signals?
Under normal operations, no. Day-to-day operation of the intersection.
Directed to David, is that something that the applicant would be willing to look at?
I think we're not changing from the original approval. We're not changing.
I'll take a closer look and we'll follow it.
Again, this is outside of what we're asking for. And I think the conditions are the conditions, and we're meeting the conditions.
And there'll be a phase, when we talk about the phase two traffic. There'll be an opportunity. At that point, there would be an opportunity to look at it again.
Okay, and just real quick for you, just to almost educate me, because it wasn't entirely clear. When is phase two? How is phase two defined as to the future traffic study?
It's tied to a specific level of traffic generation. So when enough development occurs to hit the thresholds that are referenced in our February 7th letter, that triggers the need for the phase two traffic study.
Okay. So it's tied to existing traffic conditions. So.
Existing and then partial build out of development.
And I don't think the condition requires a phase two study. It requires either the phase two study or all of the recommended improvements in the traffic impact study for phase two when we meet phase two. So the traffic impact study is broken into two phases. For improvements, when we reach the threshold number of trips in real life for the phase two improvements, the developer may either do another traffic impact study to show that maybe some of those improvements are not necessary, or do all of the improvements. That's how condition T works.
Anyone else have any traffic questions? Just have a couple. Save the note. Just a couple more to go. And this isn't quick, I promise. Bill, if we go to page 5, I guess, of the applicant 21, and I just, when I was looking at it, what's proposed between parking spaces on the larger lots. So in 2E, there's some lots, the spaces, I guess, are facing each other, and there's something depicted in between them. Can you describe what that would be? I may have just answered my question. If we turn to page 6, is it a landscaped, are there landscaped parking buffers so between the two parking spaces?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, the township has a requirement for a certain amount of green space within a parking lot. That would be part of how we come into compliance with that ordinance requirement.
I'm sorry, come into compliance with
that ordinance.
Thank you.
Sorry. And last question, or a couple questions. The 2019 master plan, it's a 47 sheet document, right?
Correct.
And the amendment is only for 5 pages, but with the understanding it's only for units J and K.
That's correct.
Are there any? Obviously, some of the other sheets in 47 are going to be impacted by these proposed changes, correct? Like there's a truck changing sheet, and
yes.
Is there any intent or proposal to provide additional sheets, or is this all that's being proposed?
Well, again, I think the focus of the amendment is lot J and K, and the focus is a layout revision. I think all the other requirements would come into. With the land development plan, for instance, you referenced truck turning, that would be part of the land development plan. I do know a lot of the master plan there were requirements for like net developable lot area. Like those sheets wouldn't have changed based on the updates.
Understood. Some of them I think would. But I guess my question, is there anywhere on the notes that reference the fact that, because that original... The original 2019 master plan is recorded.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So the Obviously, I assume the applicant's intent, assuming they get some type of a conditional approval from the board, is to record the revised plan.
I think we're
is there a note? Is there a note proposed? I don't have the eyesight for it. Is there a note that explains?
We can certainly add it.
Yeah.
That references the fact that the other sheets of that 47 sheet.
We can agree to a condition to include a note that does that to the extent that one does not exist.
Fair enough. That's all I have. Anything else? So, and I'll say this, I think we talked about it earlier on. The intent is now to likely, unless there's additional questions or if we have additional witnesses this evening.
No, I'd like to close.
I have another question, but it's just a regular question, so I'm not sure which witness would answer it.
I'll choose.
It's in regards to the economic analysis. So we got an economic analysis back in January for the prior plan that was changed this evening. So my question is, things have obviously changed since this plan was approved a few years ago. Is there a new economic analysis that takes into account the changes that we received this evening? Because they're going back to the original numbers.
Because now we look at it, we can provide, I guess, an update just to show where it's at. But because the numbers that were originally reported in that economic development plan are now back to where they were, We did not provide an update to so there's no change. It's essentially, there would not be a change as a result of this request. There would not be a change to the economic.
So we should look back at the 2018 version.
That's right.
Yes. And yes, the paraphrase can real quickly. The reason for the updated economic impact was purely the change in the unit type mix. Since now there's no change in the unit type mix from the 2019 approval, there's no new economic impact related to, there's no difference in the economic impact related to this plan versus the one that was approved in 2019.
Okay. But I have a follow-up to that, because back in the 2018 economic development plan, which I had asked at the beginning of the very first time that we met, it used an analysis that talked about the, on page 18, it talked about the townhomes being included for purchase. But that's not the case. The townhomes are all for rent.
Now, likely, and there's a lot of assumptions and that aren't included in that, and that's why, hey, you got to provide, hey, here's some reality. You know, whether it's, you make some assumptions when you're developing those, you know, we're being upfront that, yeah, many of these townhouses would end up as rentals. There's also townhouses on the other parts of the plan that will be sales. The original plan didn't include the transfer taxes, or you'll be getting a check for a clean and green very, very quickly. We made that up this week, that were not included. So we'd be glad to provide an update, but I don't think it's part of this. It's not part of this decision yet. Whether something sold or not sold, we try. At the time, we provided what the assumptions were. They were the best assumptions at the time, but you know, this approval doesn't, you know, the apartments could end up being condos.
Right.
You don't know that. There's other things that weren't, from a conservative basis, that weren't included. It doesn't include a transfer tax, any future transfer tax on a sale of a single family house. It was just
right.
A one time.
I was just going off of what I was reading from 2018, and that's where that question was coming from.
You know, and again, we did for the school district, and we have one that we tried to provide township. We did update that report. It's actually more favorable for the school district than it was previously. But
that actually brings up my next question, and that's going back to, now that we're going back to the same number of units, is there communication going to the school district? Because back when we were looking at more apartment units, there was less students that were going to Derry Township School District, and now we're back to the original plan, which is great. But is there communication going
on? Absolutely. Okay. I actually met with the school district last week. I actually sent them more information today. We're from an impact, for getting the approval standpoint, we want to make sure there's an open line of communication with, so they know what's coming. The number of students at full build-out, so you know that is using the township formula, the number of bedrooms is 213 students, including all.
Just making sure that there's just a line of communication
absolutely.
Open with them so that they know.
Yeah, I met with the business manager, superintendent.
One at
week.
A time, please. Sorry. There's a little bit of talking over. So that there's a line of communication open with them, absolutely, so that they are
aware of what's
thank
coming.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
appreciate
very,
one at a time.
Important.
Any other questions?
I was just going to remind everyone. So we're going to, I don't know if anyone's thought about when we'll continue this hearing, too. But I asked Mr. Fisher, I don't know if I asked you to, in the event that after adjusting the revised plans, if there are any additional questions of either of you, you're local, so you won't have to come with me. Potentially what I may do is reach out to Mr. Schutte and let him know ahead of time. Are you so well, either of you would be local for that?
Yeah, I think they're all willing to come back.
Okay.
Yes, because they're going to get paid. but I don't know how long it's going to take Chuck to review what the plan is. Knowing Chuck as long as I have, I don't anticipate it will take him very long. But if we could try to set a date certain tonight, in 2 weeks, sometime during the week of the 18th, to come back to conclude the hearing.
I was thinking maybe the board's second meeting in April.
We already have two conditional use hearings scheduled that night.
What are they? I don't think they're like this. I'm not speaking.
We'd be happy to come in a half hour earlier than.
Yeah.
It's the pleasure board. Whenever they come. Yeah. It might be the pleasure of the Chuck's Chinese calendar.
Yeah. Right. I will not just. If we were to make a hearing date that week that you asked for, David, I will not. I'll be out of town that week.
Then we can't do it that week.
What's that meeting night Chuck's looking?
That would be ideal actually to do that meeting night. But I thought that because of the RA grant schedule, it'd be difficult.
Well, I would. So we always advertise it for.
Well, wait. On
the 26th, we have the new cell tower ordinance scheduled for 6 p.m. And we have a short-term rental hearing scheduled at 6:30.
Can we do a 5:30? Can we just move the cell tower? Or as exciting as that promises to be, can we move the cell tower hearing to another day?
As long as the applicant will reimburse me for my advertising fees. I know that's kind of petty, but it's already been advertised.
I know what you're talking about. Was there a cell tower advertising?
Yes.
It's just out.
I'm fine moving that.
Chris offered them.
So Chuck, we could schedule the conclusion of this hearing for the 26th at 6 p.m.
Yes.
Well, okay. And that would give Chuck and the staff an opportunity to review the revised plans and get any questions that are developed through that review over to your team, and then give you time to get us answers back.
And if we could also, during that period of time, start to assemble the agreed upon conditions for approval so that we can agree to them on the record at the hearing, and makes things a whole lot easier. If we can start that process.
Well, the decision is going to be the board's, but
I understand that. Yeah.
But just so they start having what that looks like.
So we can start thinking about that. So everybody can start thinking about that. through some of the more substantive conditions and agree to them on the record. That would probably be very helpful at that hearing.
To the extent that we can.
Yeah.
Let me think through that, and I'll reach out to you before the
26th.
Yeah. And so, I guess with that, I'd like to move to have admitted to the record, to the extent that they have not been already, all of the applicant's exhibits that have been presented up to, I believe it's applicant's exhibit 23. And also reserving the right for rebuttal, close the applicant's case.
Okay. So with that, is there anyone in the audience here this evening that wants to speak to this?
They were, I think. Mr. Russell, was Dale here tonight?
No, a couple. There was another couple. There was a couple in the back. But,
did Dale send an email?
Yes.
Hey, we've had a few people here, probably on both sides, that haven't yet. When they start going long, including Mr. Russell, who wants people to be able to walk to his establishment.
And I'd also like to confirm for record that no other party or no other person has requested party status.
I have not received any notice of anyone requesting party status.
Correct.
Unless there's someone here hiding this evening. But.
And I think the opportunity to do that has ended.
There's no definitive set date. We have one more here. So with that, I think we can continue. Unless there's anything else from the applicant at this point.
Good.
Anything else from the board? So with that, we'll continue the hearing to April 26, 2022, here at the Derry Township Municipal Building at 6 o'clock p.m. And with the understanding that in the event we need the witnesses, they will be in attendance as well. Correct.
Or replace with someone. Okay.
So with that, we'll continue to 26 at 6 p.m. Thank you.
You're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.